I'd like to thank our young people for that good song today. Appreciate that very much. And I want to ask you again to please pray for the message today, that the word of the Lord would go forth and have free course. I just spoke not long ago in a sermon about Job, but I want to use some things in reference to him again today. I'll ask you if you would like to read with me. Turn to the first chapter of the book of Job. And I want to read some verses beginning with verse 6. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. And it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And that's reading a rather lengthy lesson from the first chapter of Job, starting with verse 6 and completing that first chapter. The Lord impressed me with this thought, and I want to share it with you today. I like to talk about that which can never be lost. In this message today, and in this scripture reading today, We read about the life of this servant of God that lived long ago. The scholars have somewhat, I think, disagreed on the book of Job. Some believe it to be one of the oldest books in the Bible. I don't know exactly how it fit in. But nevertheless, we read about in this book about a very devout servant of the Lord, very dedicated to the Lord in his life. And the sufferings that he experienced and the things that he lost while he was here. And if you go on through this book, and I would encourage everybody to read the book of Job, study that book. If you go on through the book, you're going to read more and more about his life and how that he went through bouts of what seemed to be great times of depression, how that his friends came and didn't treat him in a very right way. And Job suffered a lot of things. And we could read in this and in other places in the scriptures, we could read about the life of Job, though, and we could say perhaps he's one of the greater examples in the Bible about somebody that suffered in this life and somebody that experienced great loss while they were in this life. But the truth is, and I think that most of us here today know this, because you don't have to live here in this world for very long. You really don't have to reach a very old age before you begin to understand that in this life that we are all subject to suffer loss. And that is a reality of life. And the things that I say today, and I thought about this in my preparation, the things that I say may have to say today, if these things have come up on you in this life, it's certainly not my objective today to bring up painful memories to any of you. But some of you here today may have experienced like things with God's servant Job, who lived long ago. But nevertheless, as we are born into this world, if we continue to live in this world and God continues to allow us to dwell here, as we age and as we go through life, we're going to experience sorrow, we're going to experience trouble, and we're going to experience the loss of things. And I know that perhaps many of you in your own life have known somebody that you were very close to and that was very beloved and very dear to you, that suffered great loss. And that's always a hard thing to see. It's always a hard thing for us to see. Perhaps we have a good friend, or we have a relative, a loved one that just, you know, suffers great loss, and that's hard for us. And we have to oftentimes pray for the grace of God to enable us to make it through those type of things. But Jesus told us, he didn't hold anything back from us. He didn't withhold this teaching from us. He taught us that in the world we will have tribulation. And I'm not going to finish the rest of it right now, but perhaps if the Lord will allow me, I will in a little bit. But Jesus taught us that in the world we would face troubles, and we would have trials, and we would have tribulation. And Job certainly had that. But I want to keep, want to ask you, if you would, to keep something in mind as I go through the message today, that the things that we read about Job and his life, and the things that he did lose, and the way that he did suffer, I want you to remember this one thing about him, and that is that Job did not lose it all. He did not lose it all. There was something that he kept. And I want to, I suppose that is the focal point of the message today. I want to talk about that which cannot ever be lost. And of course, when I studied this and prayed about it, and the Lord moved upon my heart with these thoughts, it just made me that much more thankful for salvation. And I want to just go ahead and insert this right here. I want to say that this is how I feel about life. If you go through this life, no matter what that you have, no matter what you possess, if you go through this life and miss salvation, if you experience your life on earth and never find the Lord, it doesn't matter what your life was like, as far as I'm concerned, you lost it all. You missed everything. If you go through life and fail to get right with God, you missed everything. On the other hand, if you find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to you here in this life, no matter how much trial that you might face or how much loss you may suffer, if you come down to that time when it's time for you to leave this world and go out into eternity, if you've got salvation to take with you, then you have got it all. You've got it all. And, you know, the reality is that we are all, as individuals, we are going to come down to a point in our life. And if you're here today and you're lost, I pray that this will lodge in your heart and in your mind today. All of us that are seated here today, if you were to follow us around from day to day, you would see that we're all busy people. We're all involved in, you know, several different things, and there's a lot that goes on in the maintenance of life. But every one of us that's here today and every single person that's living in the world, we are all headed for a point in time. There is a single and will be a single moment in our life that the only thing that will make any difference at all is where we stand with the Lord. I'll tell you what, friends, when it gets time, when that point comes for us to leave time and to depart into eternity, the only thing that will be of any consequence to us in eternity is whether or not we found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job realized the great truth. And it's the same for us today. Even though that Job suffered the loss that he did, there was something in this that he told us that he obviously realized, and that was that he wasn't taking any of it with him when he left anyway. Job knew that. He knew that the livestock that he lost, the things, the possessions that he had that were lost, he already knew that regardless of what happened to them, whether he lost them or retained them, he already knew that he wasn't going to take them with him. Because he said, I came out of the womb naked, came out with nothing. That's the way I'll return. And that's the way it'll be for every one of us. We came into the world with nothing. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote about this to the young preacher Timothy, he used the word certain. Paul said, we came into the world with nothing, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. So this statement that Job made in the long ago was true for people then. It's true for us today that we came in owning nothing. When we leave, we're not taking anything that we've had in between that time with us. We'll leave it all behind. And lost friend, again, I want you to know that, and really, truly, it's what matters right now. But certainly there is coming a point that the only thing that is going to make any difference is where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine what this must have been like for Job. But I see in this how much a person's life can change in the course of a single day. Job got all of these things that happened to him. These things were brought to his attention, and they were just happening simultaneously. When the one came to tell him, what had happened to the sheep, there was another one that showed up while he was still talking to tell him what had happened to the camels. And then finally, and no doubt what grieved the heart of Job more than anything was while he was yet being told about these other things that had happened, here someone showed up to tell him that his own children had lost their lives. What a sad... It's hard for me to even imagine how this man must have felt to have all of this laid up on him in the, especially in the short time frame that he did to just receive all of this bad news, all it seems, in a very short time. You know, I've had some experiences in life. One, I want to share this one with you. Years ago in Indiana, I worked in a garage at a Oldsmobile dealership. I worked at the service desk in a garage, and there was an elderly lady that brought her car in one day, and we began to talk, and she was my customer that day, and I had did the service work on her car for her, and we began to talk, and in the midst of our conversation, just out of nowhere, I mean, just totally unexpected to me, she said, I had a family. She said, I had a husband and I had a daughter. And she said, one day my daughter was killed in an accident. And I felt so sorry for this dear lady. She said, my daughter was killed in an accident. And she said, my husband got the call and he got to driving too fast. When he heard about it, he got to driving too fast because, you know, at first they had taken her to the hospital, and she said he got to driving too fast in his car and got in a crash and got killed. And I thought, my goodness, how quickly things can change. You see, people in our day have obviously had similar experiences with what Job had. We're all subject to the troubles and the losses of life. But I want to read something. And to me, we get a wonderful example in this of just how great that God truly is. I believe Job found out what the grace of God can really do and how sufficient that God's grace truly can be. Because with everything that had happened to this man, and I've got some more scripture that I want to read, and to be honest with you, a lot of this is very depressing. I mean, if you think about it from a natural standpoint, it's just depressing what this man went through. But listen to what was said in the 19th chapter of the book of Job. Starting with verse 14, he said, "My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." When I read these things, when I read about what this man went through and what he was facing, I can get downright ashamed of myself for some of the things that I might complain about in life. But if we think about what this man was saying here, "I was forsaken by my friends. I was forsaken by them that I thought loved me. I was, I became a stranger to my own wife, to my own companion. My breath became strange to her. All my inward friends, all those that I thought would never forsake me, they have forsaken me, and this great calamity has come upon me." But in the middle of all this, Job found comfort in something that was still there. It was still real in his life. It was still present with him. And he goes on in the middle of all this and he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know he lives. I know mine does too. How about you? I know my Redeemer liveth. I know it. No matter what, I've got something that cannot be taken. I've got something that cannot ever be lost. I've got something that cannot be burned. It's fireproof. I've got something that cannot be stolen because there's a theft deterrent there. Peter wrote about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he wrote about it. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, if you've been saved, you've got something that cannot be lost. There's no way that it can be lost. There's no way that the love of God can ever be taken out of our hearts. There's no way that we will ever be separated from the love of God ever again, because we are being kept by the power of God. Let me say this. For those that will choose to believe that you can be saved and then you can lose your salvation, let me make this point. They are making a mockery of the power of God by saying that, because the Bible says that we are kept by the power of God. And if somebody believes they can lose it, then they might as well just say that God is not strong enough to keep it. We are kept by the power of God. I got to tell you something today. I got to confess this for you today. No matter what happens to me, one of these days, I'm going to step off onto the shores of heaven. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step off one day. I'm going to step out of time, and I'm going to step onto the shores of heaven. I'm going to walk the streets of gold. I'm going to see those that have gone on before me that I'm longing to see. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ there. I'm going to see Him on His throne. I'm going to spend eternity there, and nothing is going to take that away from me. Listen, you can take my legs from this body, but you won't stop me from walking the streets of gold one of these days, because I've got something that God is keeping. And Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, I know Him in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'm persuaded today that God is able to keep what He's given me. I didn't deserve it. I did not save myself. God saved me. In view of that, I can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. God is keeping me. This week, I had a good experience. I love the experiences of life. Had a good experience. Most of you know my mother was down here with me. I took her over to Tompkinsville, and we spent one day, and she got to go over there in Monroe County, Kentucky, and she got to see many of the places that she had seen when she was a child and places she had been. And there's an old house, there's an old farm over there in Monroe County, outside of Tompkinsville. Bear with me while I tell this, I'll get to the point. There's an old house over there, and she grew up in that house. And behind that house, there was a garden that she was in when she was 16 years old, picking green beans, and got saved in the garden. She went to the garden alone and got saved. And we went over there, and her uncle, who is the last living child on her dad's side, still lives in the house. And we went over there, and we found it. We wasn't sure if we could remember. It had been many years since we'd been there, but we found it. She began to tell her uncle about getting saved in the garden, and he said, well, I still got a garden there. And so her and I walked back there, and she said, son, right there is where I got saved. Right around that spot right there is where I got saved. And so we went back up on the porch, and this old brother is 91 years old. His parents are gone. All of his siblings are gone. He lives in this old house by himself. I'll be honest with you, the house is run down. In fact, in some places it looked like it was about to fall down. All of his farm, this 126 acres that he has that used to be so beautifully kept, it's now all grown up and the weeds are real high, and the path back to the barn is even impassable. You can't get back there anymore. And here's this old man, and he's in fairly scruffy clothes, and he's living there all by himself. And the life that he once knew and the lifestyle that he once knew is behind him. He's old and he's just there alone. And you have to put your mouth right up to his ear for him to be able to hear you. And he's got a very weak voice. And we sat there on the porch and we talked with him. And the time came that we started to leave. We said our goodbyes. My mother had already stepped off the porch and was headed to the car. And I had already turned around. I had told Uncle Clyde goodbye and had turned around and started to leave. And all of a sudden, this loud voice begins to sing. I mean, spun me around. I heard this big, loud voice singing, "Some morning you'll find me touring that city." I turned around and we stood there on the porch and we sang together. He said, I may not see any more here. My mother told him the same thing. She said, "I may not see any more here, but I'll see you someday in a better place." And I thought about that. I thought about the life of Job. I thought about him. Here's this man that just everything has changed. Nothing is the same as it used to be. His life is, his body's weak, his life is almost over. But he's got something to rejoice about. I mean, he's got this light down in him to rejoice in. Friends, listen, there are many people in the world today, and I feel for them, that they just, you know, they make a mental decision and they accept Christ, or they try to gain justification by some other false means. And let me tell you something, though. When you really get saved, there's something so real about it, isn't there? God is so real in your life. And in the midst of everything, in the midst of all sorts of problems and all sorts of trials and troubles, and even to the point that you're suffering great loss, my experience has been this, that there's something in me that God put there that I can find the light at the end of the tunnel no matter what is happening. I can find something there to hang on to. I know I've got something that cannot be lost. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. And he went on and he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I believe the old song. I believe the writer was on the right track when it was written. I believe the words in the old song, when we all get to heaven, I believe that just one glimpse of him in glory and will the toils of life repay. Just one step inside of the gates of heaven and all the things of this life will be gone, never to plague us again. No troubles. Hard to imagine, isn't it? I'm glad I got something
that nobody can take from me. Nobody. Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth because moth and rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. And you and I don't have anything today, any of our possessions that we have, we don't have anything that can't be stolen or that can't be destroyed or that won't decay. Nothing. Not anything. It's all subject to be lost. But not what God gave us. If you're lost, you need to seek for the pearl of great price. You need to seek for the salvation of the Lord. Jesus said, what would it profit to gain the whole world and to lose your own soul? No matter what you lose in this life, the worst thing that you could ever do is lose your soul. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody, is to lose your own soul. I knew a man years ago, haven't seen him for a long, long time now, but I knew a man years ago that used to stand up in church where I was a member, and he'd testify. He had a rough childhood, had a rough upbringing, had a dad that obviously didn't care a whole lot for him. He used to stand up, testify. He said they were migrant workers, and he said, I'd saved up enough money to buy me this real nice pair of shoes that I wanted. Said it took me a while, but I saved up the money and I finally went and bought them. He said, when my dad saw them, he took them from me and wore them. The man even said, I believe if I thought I could have whipped him, I would have for those shoes. Said, I worked hard for him, I saved up for him, my dad took them from me and wore them. But he said, God put a pair of gospel shoes on me that nobody can take. Isn't that true? God shod his feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and nobody can take that away. So you may suffer some things in life. No doubt we will. No doubt we'll suffer loss. I hope and pray that you'll be able to make it through life without suffering so many things in such a short time like Job did. I really pray that you'll be able to make it through life. But we're going to suffer in this world. We're going to have times when we're going to suffer loss. But just remember, if you've been saved, your Redeemer lives. And no matter what, nobody can take what he gave you. I appreciate your attention. I really do. Let's stand and have a song. Brother Ronnie, if you would lead us in a song.